It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. For the rest of the program, we're going to be talking with Bob Keefe, the author of the new book, Clean Economy Now, Stories from the Front Lines of an American Business Revolution. He argues clean energy policies not only won't hurt American business, but would actually be good for business. Arnold Schwarzenegger wrote the foreword to the book and sums up his own Republican environmental record during his 7 years as governor. He says, California's economy didn't collapse. We didn't kill the auto industry. We didn't go back to reading by candlelight and warming our food with fire. I'm sorry I had to do that. He said, rather, though, they created clean energy jobs. They spurred the creation of companies like Tesla, and they made solar and wind power cheaply available. Bob Keefe was for many years a newspaper reporter. Now he runs the advocacy organization Environmental Entrepreneurs, that's E2 for short. Bob, welcome to the 21st Show.
Oh, Brian, it's great to be with you on the 21st Show on the 22nd of April. Thank you for having me.
So, you know, I want to piggyback off something that we just heard at the end of our previous conversation, and that's about Earth Day being a day for personal responsibility. And so many of the environmental messages I got when I was coming up were about personal responsibility. Recycle, turn off the water while you're brushing your teeth, use less air conditioning in summer. When you look at where pollution and greenhouse gases come from, is the marginal difference in my thermostat really what's going to make a difference? Where is the problem in our modern economy?
Well, the answer to your question is no. Yes, everybody needs to do their part, and everybody and individuals for a long time have been doing their part. The good news is we're finally getting American businesses, thanks to smart policies, we're finally getting American businesses to move in the right direction, and it's revolutionizing our economy, I believe. And I got to tell you, I heard the discussion or the question about optimism with your previous guest, Brian, and I got to tell you, I'm an optimist. I think we are finally moving in the right direction in this country. We're finally realizing that we can have both a good environment and a good economy. Technology is catching up with our problems, and this is a big and, unless we allow our elected officials to take us backward again, we're going to continue to move forward on both clean energy and creating a better environment.
Well, let's talk about the policy landscape. You mentioned our elected officials. What has changed in the past few years in terms of what our elected officials have been doing with regard to? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, 2 years ago, basically, Washington passed the most important climate and clean energy policies in the history of this country, if not the planet, Brian. Of course, I'm talking about the Inflation Reduction Act. I'm talking about the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act that's pumping billions of dollars into our economy to advance clean energy, clean vehicles, and innovation in the energy space. It's doing more than that, though. It's incentivizing businesses to invest on their own. It's sending the market signal that America is moving in the right direction, and it's finally not just doing something serious about climate change, but it's also positioning itself to catch up with the rest of the world. And I want to emphasize catch up with the rest of the world in what's expected to be a $23 trillion clean energy marketplace. Now, those federal policies were absolutely the catalyst for what we're seeing today, which is an amazing transformation of our economy. But your previous guest, Jack, I think, mentioned CEJA, the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act there in Illinois. Also, Governor Pritzker's REV program, Reimagining Energy and Vehicles in Illinois program. Those are attracting major investments, creating tons of jobs all across America and including in Illinois. And we can definitely get into some examples of that if you'd like.
Yeah, well, let's do that, because I think, you know, you mentioned the Inflation Reduction Act, and there had been so much focus on a Green New Deal for so many years leading up to that. And then we get all this environmental policy. It's branded the Inflation Reduction Act for obvious political reasons, I think. But let's talk about some of the real world effects, right? The book is filled with case studies. You write about an Illinois solar developer called Trajectory Energy Partners as an example of a small business benefiting from the Inflation Reduction Act. How so?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, look, under the Inflation Reduction Act, businesses get tax credits to invest in clean energy projects, and consumers And businesses get tax credits and other incentives to purchase electric vehicles, to purchase solar panels, to make their homes, their offices more energy efficient. And it's making a huge difference. You know, my organization, E2, got its start 25 years ago in California, working on what then were the very first clean vehicle standards in the world. And that was a time when automakers and the petroleum industry was saying, "Oh, we can't do this, California. We can't clean up our environment and advance our economy." But guess what? We did. And as you mentioned in your great Arnold Schwarzenegger voice,
Couldn't
that
resist.
the state of California moved forward and is now a leader on not just the environment but the economy with clean energy jobs in this state. But let's look at what's happened since the IRA was passed 20 months ago, the Inflation Reduction Act. My organization has been tracking clean energy jobs and clean energy projects all around the country. What we know is that since the IRA was passed, we've had 300 major clean energy factories and projects coming out of the ground all across America. We're talking about battery factories, electric vehicle factories, solar panel plants, wind turbine factories, clean hydrogen plants. We've had $120 billion worth of private sector investment, more than 100,000 jobs already announced. When is the last time, Brian, when we've seen 300 factories and other major projects coming out of the ground in America? It's simply a, that's why I call this a revolution. And it's happening in Illinois. Let me give you a couple of examples. An hour and a half or so north of Champaign, a company called Goyton is building a $2 billion electric vehicle factory, creating 2,600 new jobs, helping power the shift to cleaner vehicles. South of Champaign in Mount Vernon, a company called Manor Polymers is investing $54 million into a plant, creating 60 new jobs to make polymers that are used in solar panels, among other things. There's a company called Wyland down there that makes copper components for electric vehicles, just invested $500 million into a factory. Wyland employs something like 800 people. Up in Chicago or east of Chicago, a company called Flender Corporation is expanding a factory that makes gearbox. That area. So, according to to my organization, the jobs and the investments that we've tracked, Brian, since the IRA, companies have invested at least $2.6 billion in Illinois alone. In these projects and others, expected to create about 3,000 jobs. That's huge. That's a big deal. And it's helping our environment because it's creating for us the tools to reduce our carbon emissions and build a cleaner world.
All right. We are talking with Bob Keefe. He is the author of Clean Economy Now: Stories from the Front Lines of an American Business Revolution. He's also runs the advocacy organization E2. That's short for Environmental Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We will continue this conversation when we return. If you want to join us, the number is 800-222-9455. If you have a question about green energy investment, 800-222-9455. More to come. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and today is Earth Day. We're talking with Bob Keefe, author of, wouldn't say that again. We're talking with Bob Keefe, author of the new book, Clean Economy Now: Stories from the Front Lines of an American Business Revolution. The gist of the book is he argues that clean energy policies not only won't hurt American businesses, but are actually good for American businesses. You can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Bob, I think we can't talk about environmental policy in America and the future of clean energy without talking about politics. And you heard part of our conversation earlier in the show. A lot of the great strides in the beginning of America's environmental movement, or at least the phase of it in the 1970s, happened under Republican President Richard Nixon with a Democratic Congress. What is your theory of why climate change has become so politically divisive, so polarized?
Well, I think it's become politically divisive because politicians have made it politically divisive, unfortunately. But the fact of the matter is, you're exactly right. There should be nothing partisan. There should be nothing political about creating a better environment, about having cleaner air, cleaner water. We all drink the same water. We all breathe the same air. There also should be nothing partisan or political about expanding clean energy in this country. I mean, you talked about Richard Nixon, a Republican president who passed some of the most important and fundamental environmental laws in this country's history. We also talked about Arnold Schwarzenegger, a Republican governor in the most democratic state in the country that passed some of the most sweeping climate policies up until the Inflation Reduction Act and the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act. When you look around at what's happening in clean energy right now, Brian, and I detail this in the book, it's clear that this is not a blue state Democrat thing. These are red, white, and blue jobs, and they're happening everywhere in the country. More than 60% of those 300 plus major clean energy projects I've mentioned, they're happening in Republican congressional districts around the country. Look at Georgia. Georgia has attracted more clean energy companies and clean energy projects than any state in the country. I think Michigan just caught up with them, by the way, but Georgia's right up there, North and South Carolina, very red states. As part of the book, I went down to a place called Dalton, Georgia, former carpet capital of the world, where a company called Qcells is building one of the biggest solar panel factories in the Western Hemisphere. It happens to be in the district of Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. But this is playing out all over the country. This, again, it should not be political.
Well, and yet we just saw,
And yet.
Well, so last week there was a story from Reuters. I'm just going to read
That's
the
right.
opening paragraph here. 25 Republican-led states sued the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to block rules intended to reduce planet-warming emissions from cars and light trucks and to encourage electric vehicle manufacturing. They're basically arguing that the Environmental Protection Agency is exceeding its legal authority. What do you think of that?
Well, it's not only that, and that was expected just because of what we were talking about, the unfortunate specter of politics over everything. But look at the policies that we've been talking about, the Inflation Reduction Act. Congress, the Republican House, has already tried to roll back part or all of the Inflation Reduction Act more than 30 times. There's been 30 attempts to roll back or water down the IRA. A lot of times, those proposals to do so came from the very lawmakers who are benefiting the most from these policies and whose constituents are finding new opportunities and bringing new investments into their backyards and their neighborhoods that they didn't have before. So it's completely misguided. And the only way that we can make a difference in blunting those moves is if we talk to our lawmakers, if we make our lawmakers know that, yes, we want clean energy jobs. Yes, we want cleaner energy in America. And yes, we want a better environment. But we've got to stand up. We've got to make sure our lawmakers know that we don't want to turn backward again. We want to move forward on this, on these policies that are creating jobs, driving economic growth, and helping the planet.
I wonder if there's a sort of a local national disconnect that could be exploited here, and what you think of that. Because, on the one hand, members of Congress now spend a lot of their time, at least some number of them, going on cable news, ginning up media attention, whereas local officials, the ones who are closer to the people, and the ones actually trying to bring in factories, for example, and maybe would stand to benefit from those politically. Can you talk about that divide? Where are some of examples of officials maybe block, how would I say, bucking the party trend in order to promote these sorts of projects?
Well, you're absolutely right, Brian, and you can look to as close as the neighboring state of Indiana, where the governor of Indiana took so much grief, the Republican governor of Indiana at the time took so much grief for attending one of the UN climate summits not too long ago. The reason he went was, yes, he cares a little bit about climate, I guess. He's not exactly what I would call a tree hugger, but he went there to recruit companies in electric vehicle manufacturing, companies in solar panel manufacturing, battery manufacturing, et cetera. And guess what? It worked. Indiana has attracted a lot of clean energy companies to that area, and they're going to keep doing so. Look again to Georgia. You have the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, a Republican, who says he wants his state to be the EV mobility capital of the world, electric vehicle mobility capital of the world. Now, he doesn't give a lot of credit to the federal policies that are helping make that happen, but that's okay. It's moving in the right direction, I think, when we can put our political labels aside and say this is a good thing and we need to be moving forward on it.
I want to come back to some of the case studies in the book. You have a section about a Frito-Lay plant electrifying its operations. What did it take to green potato chips in California?
Well, what it took is a lot of electric semi big rigs that are produced by Tesla. It took solar panels that are produced by other American companies, and it took a company like Frito-Lay to have the insight to realize that, hey, you know what? We can actually do good for our environment, but at the same time, this is good for our bottom line. It reduces our costs because solar, because wind, because clean energy is the cheapest energy you can get just about anywhere in America right now. Electric vehicles are more efficient to operate and cheaper to operate over the long term than filling up with gas, especially in a place like California where that Frito-Lay plant is, and then burning it up and spewing pollution into our air. So it took some initiative by that company. It took some support by the state, and it took the innovation that's coming out of companies today that we're all going to start seeing more of in the future if we don't go backward on these policies.
And that is one of the, I thought, one of the interesting things in the book is how you talk about those trucks, the Tesla trucks. They also have box trucks that they can do short haul deliveries. And that gets at some of the challenges. Even if we had the, more broad political will to get this done, even if we had additional future investment, or at least we weren't fighting, or had forces fighting the investment that's already been approved by the Congress. Because you do have challenges. And I was really interested in the section on long haul trucks and how much power it would take to really electrify that. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's going to essentially take the electricity equivalent of powering a small city, frankly, to power like the truck stops of the future that are going to fill up our big rigs around to move our products around the country. But here's the thing that I keep in mind, Brian. You know, I spent, as you mentioned, 20 years as a journalist. A lot of that was as a business and technology reporter. I covered Silicon Valley for a long time. I was the technology editor in Austin, Texas for a while. And I long ago quit discounting the pace of innovation and the pace of technology when we have the right market signals that typically come from government. And I say that in this frame. Yes, we're working on figuring out how to electrify big rigs and locomotives and other big equipment right now. We're also working on figuring out hydrogen. And hydrogen is, if we do it right, and if we do it producing it with renewable energy, as we know we can produce a fuel that is ideal to power major heavy duty equipment like big rig trucks. Like ocean-going ships that are some of the biggest polluters on, or are the biggest polluters on our seas. We can use things like hydrogen to power airplanes, which are, of course, big major polluters as well. And the other thing is, who knows what's around the corner? Once you give American innovators, once you give American companies, the incentive and the market direction to signal where things are going, there's no stopping us. Look at the advent of digital media. Look at the advent of iPhones and computers and all the other things that I and others covered, you know, in the 80s and 90s and 2000s in Silicon Valley. We have things today that we could have never imagined back then. But the key is we got to get moving in the right direction, and we shouldn't go backward.
So let's come back to this. We're coming to the end of our time together. This idea of optimism and pessimism, and there's this there's a mentality out there among some people, at least, that we may be doomed. It may be too late already. What do you say to people who express that side of things? Which I guess is sort of the opposite side of the coin of people who just say the Chicken Little. There's not really a problem, that everybody who's complaining about this is a Chicken Little.
Well, you know, it's never too late to do the right thing, right? and it's never too late to head off a disaster. If you see yourself driving toward the end of the cliff, you can still pump the brakes. You can still turn around, or you can close your eyes and be ignorant to everything around you and keep your foot on the gas. Again, fortunately, I think finally in this country, we are moving in the right direction on climate and clean energy, thanks to these policies, both at the federal and the state level. But that doesn't mean we're still not headed toward a cliff. It means we've found solutions and we can find a detour around these things. But we can't give up, right? And we can't go backward. We can't stay on the same road that we've been on.
Headed towards a cliff, can we build an electric airplane out of our car while we are
I love it.
The cliff?
I love
right.
it.
Let's torture that metaphor. Bob Keefe does not have so many tortured metaphors. There are better metaphors in his book, Clean Economy Now, Stories from the Front Lines of an American Business Revolution. Thank you so much for being with us on Earth Day.
So great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. Coming up tomorrow, two stories. Oberweis Dairy, the century-old Illinois family business that sells its milk and ice cream across Illinois and beyond, has filed for bankruptcy protection and announced plans to lay off more than 100 workers. We'll hear from a reporter at the Chicago Tribune about what that means and what is next. We'll also be talking tomorrow about misophonia, which is a condition where the sound of could be people chewing, rustling papers. It just makes some people absolutely distracted to the point of really causing serious problems for them. We'll talk with two Illinois researchers who are working on solutions to this condition. That's coming up tomorrow on the 21st show. Before we go, I want to urge you to join our texting group. You can send the word TALK to 217-803-0730. We love sharing your comments and questions on the show. Again, send the word TALK to 217-803-0730. You can find that and every other way to contact us, our email address, our voicemail line. It's all on our website, 21stshow.org. We've got all of our past conversations there, and you can find links to subscribe to our podcasts or just look us up on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Damian Contreras. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Again, today was Earth Day. Happy Earth Day. Thank you for listening. Today also marks the beginning of Passover. We had a conversation on that on the program last week. You can find it on our website, 21stshow.org. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.